Hi guys, welcome back to Lights Up with Taylor Andrews. Once again, I am Taylor Andrews. I am so overly excited about today's topic because today I'm going to be talking about the Next to Normal Pro Shot on PBS. Oh my God, I don't even know where to start with this, genuinely. I listened to Next to Normal at least like 3 years ago. And it has always been one of my favorite shows. I have always wanted so badly to be in this show. I would actually sell both of my arms to play Natalie Goodman. And that's something that's only been reinforced by this pro shot being out. I really love Next to Normal because Next to Normal is one of those shows that you barely grasp the plot just by listening to the cast recording. So it's not like one of the sh it's not like Hamilton or something where you know like exactly what's going on in the plot. It's just enhanced by like seeing everything. I was in love with this show from the moment I listened to it, and I wanted to figure out more about the plot, what I missed. So I actually read a Wikipedia synopsis back when I first listened to it. And I remember being so shocked by like everything that was actually going on in this plot, which is why I'm so glad there's a pro shot out and that it's like easily accessible and it's like free, because it's an amazing show, but it's also a show that like there's so many nuances and other plot points that you're not even aware of happening until you actually like see it. So yeah, so the Next to Normal pro shot is out on PBS right now. 2025 is the year, in case anyone's listening to this like way later. It unfortunately expires July 1st, which is one thing that I hate. However, I've watched it multiple times already, and I am planning to watch it again before it expires. Oh my God, guys, this cast is so stacked. So we have Casey Levy playing Diana, the mother. Oh my God, I love Casey Levy. I already loved her from Frozen. That's all I really knew her from, but like I loved her because of it. And so seeing her take on this role, she just plays it with so much honesty and authenticity and so much respect and reverence that like I could watch her play this role forever and never be unhappy seeing it happen. We have Jamie Parker playing the dad, Dan. Who I didn't know who he was before this, but I really liked him. He does such a good job of playing this dad who's kind of just like refusing to admit the things that he's feeling and trying to hold everything together. We have Eleanor Worthington Cox playing Natalie Goodman, the daughter, who made me want to play this role even more. I think Natalie is a role that is so easy to just fall into anger the entire time you're playing her because she is like, there is anger there. She's always overlooked by her parents. She's never the priority. What she's dealing with is never as important as what someone else is dealing with. But Eleanor just plays her so broken. And there's something so beautiful about that, because even though she's this 16-year-old girl, it almost feels like you're still seeing like her inner child, still seeing this like 5-year-old, 8-year-old who's like desperate for love and attention from her parents and still never getting it. And then Jack Wolf plays the son. And oh my God, you guys. I knew nothing about Jack Wolf before watching this pro shot, and I am officially obsessed with him. Like genuinely obsessed. He is such an amazing performer, for starters. Hearing him sing, he has one of the most beautiful and clear voices I've ever heard from anyone, let alone a tenor. And this is like entire world. Like I genuinely, he could sing the phone book at me, and I would probably loop it and play it like 12 times in a day. That is how amazing Jack Wolf is. Also, I'm flabbergasted because this man is 29. For context, I'm 19. He looks my age. I assumed he was around my age, maybe like 21 at the most. He's 29. That's crazy. All right. So, anyway, I am gonna get a little bit into the plot. So this is a little later than usual for this to be issued, but a spoiler warning is in effect. If you're listening to this episode before July 1st, I would highly, highly recommend watching The Pro Shot on PBS before getting further into listening to this. Because it's an amazing show. And it is something that I firmly believe everyone should see and witness, because it is one of the most beautiful pieces of theater I've ever seen. And also, it's free. It's on PBS. So for anyone that like hasn't dealt with PBS, if you don't have an account, you literally register an email, that's it, and you get access to everything they have with no payments. You can donate if you would like, but there's no money that has to be exchanged. And this Pro Shot's amazing. These performers are phenomenal. I highly, highly, highly recommend watching it. But also have a box of tissues ready if you are going to watch it, because this is an emotional train wreck. So without further ado, spoiler warning is officially in effect. I feel like I've rambled on long enough for people to leave if they don't want spoiled about the show. So let's get into it. So next to Normal follows the Goodman family. We have Diana, the mother, Dan, the father, Natalie, the daughter, and their son. I'm not saying the son's name for a very specific reason that I actually didn't pick up on the first time watching The Pro Shot. And we'll get to that. So Diana suffers from bipolar disorder, and it's definitely more than just bipolar, but that's kind of the umbrella term that they put it under for her. And so a lot of the show is her having like these mental health episodes, and Dan, her husband, being there for her and being like, we're gonna fix this, we're gonna get through it. And Diana's like obviously scared and confused, and there's a lot of different things with like medication, but like she's not herself on the medication. So Dan's happy because she's not having episodes, but like Diana's feeling numb or like not herself, and like she's scared and she's confused and she's frightened and she doesn't want to be on this medication. So while all of this is happening, we have Natalie, who's this like high-strung, overachieving perfectionist who is just trying to graduate from school early and get the hell out, pretty much. And she has a piano recital that pretty much is like gonna help determine if she gets to go to Yale or not. And so she's like, Mom, Dad, I need you guys to be there. And they're like, we will, da-da-da-da-da, like, we'll be there, we promise. And while all this is going on, they're still trying to treat Diana's bipolar. Dan's trying to act like everything's normal. He's like, we're going to be a normal family with a normal life. We got this. And during that, Natalie starts dating this guy named Henry, who's like a stoner, but like he's sweet and like really into her. And so Diana's taking pills. They're working, but she doesn't like how they make her feel. So Gabe kind of helps. I just said his name. It's fine. Gabe kind of helps to like convince her that like, oh yeah, just flush him if you don't like him, like get rid of him. And so Natalie's been avoiding Henry meeting her family. Henry finally gets dragged in for dinner. During dinner, Diana's like, it's somebody's birthday, it's Gabe's 18th birthday. And this is so chilling of a moment, because it goes kind of silent, and like literally Natalie is like on the verge of tears. Dan looks so pissed off, and Henry like has no idea what's going on. He's like, oh my gosh, whose birthday is it? And Natalie's like, it's my brother's. And bro is like, oh my god, I didn't know you have a brother. And she goes, I don't. And that's a crazy moment in the show, especially if you walk in blind, because you learn at this point that Gabe's dead. He's been dead. So the actor you've seen on stage the whole time, there's a reason that Diana's been the only person really interacting with him. Because it kind of is made to seem like, oh, like, he's, like, Diana's golden child, but, like, Dan kind of, like, doesn't like him, and, like, Natalie's too wrapped up in her own shit to really interact with him. But no, he's dead, and he is a personification of Diana's grief. And that's something that is, like, insane. I remember the first time I read the synopsis of the show, I was in shock, because that's something that like you really don't pick up on in the cast recording at all. And so it was really, really crazy seeing it on stage. It was insane. So pretty much stuff's not working. It's not working. Diana's going through Gabe's stuff because her therapist ends up kind of being like, wouldn't it be great to finally be able to move on from Gabe and connect with Natalie, who you barely ever talk about, who you barely ever interact with? Wouldn't it be great? Like, you've lost your son, but you don't have to lose your daughter. Wouldn't that be great? And she's like, yeah, it would be. And so while that's going on, Natalie had a song earlier called Superboy and the Invisible Girl, which is also one of my favorite songs. I really want to work on it and sing it at some point. And it's pretty much about the fact how, like, Gabe is literally dead, but I'm still invisible to you and he's not. And that's kind of crazy because, like, I am your daughter. I'm here. He's not here. I'm here. And Diana has a line that's brutal in that because she's like, oh, like, that's not true. I love you. And the last line she sings in the song is, I love you as much as I can. That's insane. That's so brutal. Like, you feel so much for Natalie in that moment because, like, it is a true thing of, like, Diana's like, I'm loving you as much as I can. But also there's the undertone of, like, but I'll never love you more than your dead brother who died at, like, 8 months old, even though I've had you for 16 years. And that's brutal. That's so brutal. So anyway, Diana is at therapy a lot. Her therapist is like, wouldn't it be nice to, like, be able to finally put Natalie first? And she's like, yes. And while this is happening, Natalie's at her recital. And Henry, like, goes backstage to surprise her and give her flowers. And she's like, do you see my parents? Like, do you see my mom? My dad said they'd both be here. And Diana doesn't show up. And so Natalie, once again, is very upset. And so she kind of ends up blowing her entire recital, which is, like, not a good thing to have happen, obviously. But yeah, she, like, bombs the recital. And so she's, like, very, very, very upset. And yeah, so Diana goes home and she's like, I'm gonna put Gabe behind me. I'm gonna, like, start my life. And so she finds this music box that she used to, like, always play for Gabe when he couldn't sleep. And she, like, has this beautiful song called I Dream to Dance that's, like, about, like, pretty much, like, I'll live to dance with you again. And then Gabe has a song right after called There's a World. Heavy, heavy trigger warning right here. I should have said this earlier, but, like, trigger warning, self-harm, suicide, trigger warning. There's a World is such a haunting song because it's pretty much Gabe as Diana's grief convincing her to kill herself so that she can be reunited with Gabe. And the way they stage this in the pro shot is haunting. Because the song ends, Diana and Gabe walk off stage, they have, like, a rotating counter piece, and it rotates around, and Diana had been going through Gabe's toys and stuff, and it's a toy car surrounded by a pool of blood. It's insane. It's haunting. And so Diana's in the hospital and the therapist is pretty much like, we want to give her electroshock therapy. It's like the only solution I can think of. Pretty much what he says is like, you can either have her do ECT or we're going to discharge her in like 2 days. And it's going to be like a high wire act waiting to see how long it takes for her to attempt again. And so Dan convinces Diana to go through with electric shock therapy. While this is kind of going on, Natalie ends up going through Diana's pills. Drug abuse happens. She's taking these pills because, like, no, genuinely no one really pays attention to her anyway. And she's very overwhelmed and upset, and she's really getting no help with that. Henry's trying, but, like, it's really sad for her. She spends 90% of this show being overlooked by her parents because her dad's more concerned with her mom. Her mom's more concerned with Gabe, who's not alive. Like, even there's a song during the song I'm Alive, which is sung by Gabe earlier in Act One, that's kind of being like, oh, like, even though, like, I'm dead, like, I'm not, like, I'm still alive through Diana, and, like, I'm flesh and bone, I'm living, breathing because of her. Natalie and Dan are kind of having an argument, and she's concerned about something, and even Dan says something along the lines of, it's not all about your comfort, you know, it's about making sure your mom's better. Which is also a brutal thing to say to your child. Like, I feel so much for Natalie because 90% of this musical is her being upset about something, somewhere, whatever, and her family being like, it's not about you, it's about this adult. And, like, yes, it should be about Diana and her getting better, but also, like, saying I'm gonna fully disregard my child and how this process makes them feel during it is insane. So crazy. So anyway, we get to the start of Act Two. The Act Two opener is one of my favorite songs, and it's called Wish I Were Here, and it's sung by Diana and Natalie because it's while Diana is getting electroshock therapy. And Natalie's like out at this club and she's like high off of like whatever pills she took. And it's really nice because it draws a parallel between both the characters and kind of how, like, they're under the effects of something that's like fogging over their brain and this, that, and the other. And so they're not actually present, even though they really badly want to be. They're not present, they're not here. And so Diana gets home from shock treatment and has lost like a lot of her memory, like 19 years of it. So she remembers Dan because they were dating in college, but like she doesn't remember her own daughter, which is also brutal because again, it's like, of course, Natalie's getting left behind, forgotten about again. So they're trying to like help her remember. Dan's kind of trying to manipulate what she remembers so that she stays in a good state. She doesn't remember Gabe either. Dan keeps not bringing it up. Eventually, she remembers Gabe and she's like really upset about it because like Dan didn't bring it up. Sorry to be like speeding through a little more now, but I've been yapping a long time and there's so much more I want to hit. So Diana has like another like breakdown about it. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find which song. It's gonna be good reprise. Diana like kind of has another breakdown about it where she's like, what? She's like breaking down trying to remember Gabe's name. And what's really interesting about this point in the show is you realize his name's never been said. So especially if you go into the show blind, like if you're seeing the show there and you didn't read like the playbill or the program, or if you go into the pro shot blind, this is the point where you realize, oh my God, I've never heard his name. What is his name? And so Diana kind of has another breakdown. Natalie's been pushing Henry away a lot, and so Henry's trying to get her to go to this dance with him, and she's like, I don't know, maybe. But then he shows up and she's like, I have to take my mom to the hospital. Excuse me. Diana gets to the hospital. They're like, your options are more pills or ECT, and she's like, bro, I'm doing neither. And so Natalie and Diana kind of finally have this connection moment because she's like, what are you gonna do? And the mom's like, neither. And Natalie's like, you can't do that. And Diana's like, I'm gonna get you to your dance. But there's this brutal line in the song, Maybe, next to normal. And throughout the whole thing, because Diana's like, Natalie, you remind me a lot of myself. Which, like, is so hard because, like, A, yes, she's finally getting seen by her mother. However, at the same time, especially like dealing with like a parent dealing with a lot of mental illness or who you don't perceive as a good person, that's the worst possible thing you could say to your child, especially in the moment of connection. And you see on Natalie's face that this is the worst possible thing she could have ever, ever heard. So anyway, she gets to the dance. And her and Henry have this beautiful song, and she kind of has like this breakdown about it because she's like, I could like go insane. And she's listing off all these things her mom did. Like, she like was like running naked through the grocery store one day, and she's like, I like don't want you to have to deal with this. And Henry's like, crazy's perfect if I'm with you. which is so sweet. That he's like, it's perfect. If I'm with you, I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna stay with you. So we get back to the house, and Diana's like, I'm leaving. I've never dealt with this on my own. You've been carrying this for too long. I think that I need to leave and that you need a chance at like a normal life. And so she leaves, and Gabe is still there. And we have quite possibly one of my favorite songs from the entire Pro Shot, which is the I Am the One reprise. Oh my God, there is a reason that this specific scene has taken over like 80% of my TikTok page. And it's just this haunting piece where he's like, oh my God, like I'm the one that's always been beside you, and now you're walking away like it meant nothing. And then Gabe comes in, and like his first lyric is, I know you know who I am. And Dan's like, no, like leave me alone. Why didn't you go with her? And it's just so emotional, 'cause it's Dan finally recognizing that he has grief of his own and kind of starting to grapple with it. And also, the end of this song is the first time and the only time that Gabe's name is spoken in the entire show. And it's honestly so much more powerful that it's by Dan, who's been trying to like deny his importance and his existence this entire time and trying to act like we can move on and act like he never existed. So Natalie gets home from the dance, realizes that like the mom's gone, that Diana's gone, and she's like, okay, Dad, look, we're gonna get this cleaned up. There is kind of a moment where it feels like Natalie's almost finally being picked over Gabe, because Dan's kind of about to like embrace Gabriel and like touch him, and then Natalie walks in and is like, Dad, and like he pulls away, and there's like this moment of hesitation, and he chooses to go to Natalie. So it's like, okay, thank God, finally one of her parents are choosing her at least. But the closing song of the show is called Light, and it's pretty much just like, we're gonna find our light through this dark tunnel, we're gonna figure it out. Diana's living with her grandparents. Dan and Natalie are figuring out their lives and like what they wanna how they're gonna move on from all of this. Henry's standing by her side, and this like ever-looming presence of Gabe still exists, but it's not like dictating people's lives. There's not like this malevolence behind it anymore. Also, yeah, shout out to Jack Wolf for that, really, because he switches so seamlessly between like this like innocent son that Diana sees him as to this like malevolent evil force that Dan kind of perceives him as. So yeah, that's Next to Normal. If you can't tell by like the 15 minutes of explaining the plot, I am in love with this show. Which is also good because May 30th, there's a cast recording. Oh my God, it's tomorrow. Sorry, guys. So I don't know if I'm releasing this episode today or not, but I'm recording it on the 29th, which means the cast recording comes out literally tomorrow. So I am going to be so not normal as soon as that happens. So anyway, cast recording coming out, which is great because I do really like the Broadway original cast recording. But there's so many choices made in this production that I just love a lot more. There's a lot of emotional choices that I really like a lot more. The original Broadway cast recording was recorded in that time kind of where I, for some reason, a lot of Broadway cast recordings had like a lot less emotion behind a lot of the songs as compared to like what you would see on stage. So like the I Am the One reprise, for example, feels so flat on the original Broadway cast recording, and it's like one of my favorite songs right now, so I don't want to listen to this like flat, pretty version. I want like the messy, raw, real emotion of it. I also saw today that the Pro Shot is being released in UK cinemas, which makes me so upset that I live in America because I cannot go to the movies and watch Next to Normal. So, like, what am I supposed to do when the Pro Shot goes away? So yeah, guys, I'm very not normal about this, if you can't tell. God, Next to Normal is such a beautiful show. And I really, really appreciate that it's making a lot of people be interested in and like theater that weren't before. Which is kind of leading me to a big point of this episode, which is the importance of pro shots in slime tutorials. I know this gets like a little controversial because a lot of people are like, if you can find all the shows on YouTube or PBS or whatever, people aren't going to go see them and support live theater. I personally disagree. Because there is nothing like sitting and seeing a show live in the theater. I've been so lucky to see so many shows live. And honestly, some of it is I would just kill to see these shows again. Genuinely, like I would kill to see a lot of these shows again. John Proctor is the villain. I would love a pro shot of that. I would watch it 8 million times. But also, like, I want to buy tickets and see the show again. And this is something that when Next to Normal got announced that it was being brought to the West End, I was really, really upset because this has been one of my favorite shows for a really, really long time. And so I was really upset that I wasn't going to physically be able to see it. Watching this pro shot just makes me wish even more that I could fly to London and see it live and sit in the audience. And I genuinely think that's how a lot of people feel about it. Is a lot of pro shots make you want to go watch the show live. And so I kind of just wish more would do that. Like, I'm very excited because Pearly Victorious starring Leslie Odom Jr. that I unfortunately didn't get to see is also on PBS as a pro shot right now. So I'm really, really excited to sit down and watch that. Hadestown just shot a pro shot. Suffs had a pro shot, and then PBS didn't air it, which I'm really upset about because I saw Suffs in person and absolutely loved it, and I was really excited at the prospect of getting to watch it again since it's closed now. So I'm really hoping something gets done with that pro shot because Suffs is another amazing show. But I feel like a lot of people try to act like pro shots are like this limiting thing. That's like, oh, well, if you can watch it in your living room, why would you go watch it live? And you feel so much more seeing theater live. I heavily disagree with people saying that like pro shots are bad for the live theater industry because I'm not the only person. I know so many people that after seeing this Next to Normal pro shot are obsessed with this show and would are like, I would pay the money to see it live. Like, I think pro shots do a lot of good, and I think slime tutorials honestly do the same thing. The one thing that's hard about slime tutorials is like they can be very disengaging because these are being filmed illegally usually, which means the camera work is bad. Like, I actually tried to watch a slime tutorial of Next to Normal years ago, and I stopped like almost immediately because I just like couldn't get into it. And like, I'm so glad somebody was like, I'm gonna make this accessible, but like when I can barely see the stage and like the camera keeps dipping under a seat every 5 minutes, I'm not able to be engaged. Which is why I think we need to make pro shots more of a thing. I think it does a lot, not only to engage people and shows more, but it makes theater so much more accessible. I love live performance so much. I love Broadway, but it's very inaccessible. It's so inaccessible when you're having to pay $80 to sit in the back row of a theater. And a lot of people don't have the money to be putting into that. And a lot of people that love theater don't have the money to be traveling to New York and then putting the money into tickets. And yes, there's ways to get cheaper tickets, but a lot of that like relies on you being consistently in the area. Like the theater app that I talked about in like episode 3 of the podcast, I think. You like have to be in the area to really get a lot of use out of that, because otherwise you just are like praying that a show gets posted while you happen to be there. So I think pro shots are amazing. I think we need to normalize pro shots. Think we need to normalize publicizing pro shots and putting them out there. And I am so thankful to PBS, you guys, for having this pro shot, even if it's for a limited amount of time, because I am, as I've said like 20 times now, but it's still true. I am obsessed with Next to Normal right now because of it. And it's just renewed my love for this show. It made me need to be in this show even more. So thank you, PBS. We love you, PBS. And I think. Oh, no, that's not all I wanted to talk about. Very, very quick tangent. The staging of this show is amazing as well. We have this rotating counterpiece that's like very cool. In the opening song, what really sets off the fact that like it's like this scary thing with mental illness is Diana's literally making sandwiches on the floor. And the lighting effects while this is going on are crazy. It's like this glitchy like light circle around her, and it's so amazing. Another thing I can think of is the song, I believe it's You Don't Know, where Dan's like, I'm hurting too. And because it's You Don't Know slash I Am the One. And Diana's pretty much like, you have no idea what I'm going through. And there's this verse she's singing, and it's so heavy because it's literally the entire stage goes dark except for her and like with a light on her. And she's literally like pounding her chest while she's singing some of this. And it's so haunting and so amazing. Oh my gosh, what else is there? During the song Aftershocks. So Aftershocks happens after ECT, where Gabe like doesn't really like exist at the moment because Diana doesn't remember him. He's singing the song Aftershocks, and it's about the fact that it's like they've made me go away, but like, what did you have to lose for it? He's literally in like a glass box, and there's all of this reverb while he's singing, and it's so haunting and so amazing. And I really, really hope they keep that effect on the song in the cast recording, because it hits so much harder when it's like this echoey, like supernatural ghost like quality to his voice, because it's kind of the first time vocally, singing wise, that it's been acknowledged that like he's not real, he's like this otherworldly thing. So, in conclusion, I love Next to Normal. Watch it on PBS if you haven't. If you have, watch it again, please, because you pick up on so much from time to time. I would actually heavily engage, like, heavily encourage engaging the TikToks made around this show too, because people pick up on so many small details and so many different things that just like help you understand the show even better and are even more heartbreaking and all of these things. And yeah, I think Next to Normal should have won every single award in existence to man. And I love this show, guys. Please support it, engage with it. Support the cast recording. If you're able to support seeing it in theaters, go see it in theaters. Oh my God, please. And yeah, that's been my tangent for the day. Thank you so much for listening.